presents.
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution and he sleeps only 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit!
The Ed Hawken Show.
This is The Ed Hawken Show, episode 17. This is Ed Hawken.
And this is Randall.
Well, before we get started here and explain yet again why we're absent, I'm sure, I have a note from my mother here. I'm proud to announce we actually have a email for any of your questions, comments, or tasteful photos of your genitalia. It is at bdrhawken@gmail.com. That's right. I went classy and got a Gmail address because CompuServe no longer exists. So that's bdrhawken.com. Feel free to send me anything, as long as it's not viral or racist, and we'll definitely bring it up in the next episode. So how you been, man?
September's been a crazy month.
Yeah, I know, it has been. I can definitely just to start off right at the bat, haven't been on this time because last week I was recovering from dental surgery.
That's right.
Yes, I had to get my wisdom teeth taken out, so my mouth is now back to 2004 levels. So, and clearly I was in no shape to record last week because I would have been bleeding all over the equipment. So, and I definitely wasn't doing a lot of talking, which is shocking, I know, but couldn't talk very much when you're missing four teeth. So.
Oh, you got them all out at once?
All out at once because all my wisdom teeth had been out for about 5 years.
Oh, fuck. I thought you just had one tooth.
No, they pulled all four.
Holy
the actual
fuck,
procedure
man.
Itself took only 30 minutes because, once again, they're all erupted. They're all out. So they numbed the holy hell out of me.
Yeah.
And the procedure is very quick. I practiced the advice my father gave me anytime you're in a procedure like that to shut your eyes and not look.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And now I myself had gone through about two other dental teeth extractions before, and
it's pretty horrifying. It's an experience that no one can really prepare you for until you've done it, because there's lots of grinding, lots of snapping, pulling,
it's
lots of pressure.
Snapping, because that was the only time I actually heard. That was the only noise I heard was when they first started taking out the four teeth. There was a sick snap sound, and then everything else was fine. There was surprisingly was no other pain, and I didn't look, and they just moved fast. Obviously, I was in a shitty mood when I got there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't like when the first time I got my teeth extracted. It was 1993, and I had a baby tooth taken out, and the dentist was like, oh, man, there's a lot of gore here, and it's like, oh, God!
So I owe you an apology then, because the whole when you were telling me about being prepared for this thing, I was saying, like, it's no big deal, blah, blah, but four teeth is quite a...
Yeah, and what really pissed me off about it was that I never had a problem with these wisdom teeth. They never bothered me. The dentist was like, you know, we should have taken these out when you were younger. Let's go ahead and do it now. Fuck! So, thankfully, due to having a job and having somewhat decent health insurance, I only had to pay for the x-ray, and everything else was taken care of. So I now have a nice reminder of not as to why it's actually good to have decent dental insurance.
Yeah.
To pay $10 a month, so just in case you have something like this. Now, as a result of the surgery, obviously I couldn't do much. I had to have the whole weekend to recover. I basically was practicing what I call Eastwood face, where my mouth was kind of pursed,
yeah,
and I was walking kind of slowly.
Yeah.
I was basically like Clint Eastwood.
How the hell, what could you eat after that? Because
all I could have was milkshakes.
That's it?
And I had to eat it with a spoon. Because obviously if you used a straw, you'd get what's known as dry socket. And a dry socket is when you lose a tooth, you have a scab. Well, in extractions, if you don't do it properly, that scab could be pulled out, and it's a huge, painful mess. Thankfully, I didn't have it.
They didn't stitch you up after that?
They basically said, well, you're going to clot up, and then, you know, your body.
When I got a tooth extraction a few years ago, they sewed up the area that they pulled the tooth out of.
Basically, it's like as if I lost teeth naturally.
If they got ripped out of your head?
Pretty much. They did that, because obviously, because the nature of biology being what it is, the wisdom teeth are the deepest, most difficult teeth to extract.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, God.
Yeah, four of them at the same time.
I know. They basically said to me when they were doing this, it's like, well, we could split it up, but then you go either going to ask yourself, do you want one recovery time or two recovery times? So clearly, I'm going to have to pick one. So I had to take the entire weekend, and then I went back to work on Monday, and I was fine, but I obviously had no energy because I couldn't eat the amount of normal food I was eating. So that was a real mess. Yeah. And
you should have told them it was done on that Monday and then gotten the day off.
The problem is that, see, where I work is that my work does not stop. So if I took that Monday off, the amount of work that would have been piling up would have been horrendous. So I had to sacrifice a weekend. So.
Fuck it.
Well, we'll just see about that. So I had to recover, as I said. Thankfully, I didn't have to use any pain medication. I was quite surprised.
No pain meds, man?
I didn't feel like I needed them.
God,
it's funny
damn,
I mentioned
dude.
That because when I had to hold your ears, folks, I had to go in for surgery back when I was 15 for torsion, right? So, you know, testicular torsion. And they gave me Darvocet, which is a heavy narcotic.
Yeah.
And I took it when I needed it. I never felt like I needed it after a while, so I stopped taking it. So
you had a Dean Venture thing going on.
I did have a Dean. Everything that's depicted in that episode is medically accurate.
How long did it take before you realized that that's what you had? Did you just,
I kind of self-diagnosed myself after, because the pain got proceedingly worse. This was when I was 15, 1998.
Yeah. Did it happen at school?
No, it happened after.
Oh, thank God.
I felt kind of sore, and then it proceeded to get worse. And the big tip-off was that things were extremely uneven. So... yeah. And then the funny thing is I had heard about this thing before on a medical call-in show where some woman's husband had called in talking about that, and the guy explained what torsion was. And basically it said, if you don't get this fixed within 24 hours, everything goes dead. So we immediately had to rush to the hospital. I had to be put under, and...
How did you explain that to your parents? Like, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
I had to
like,
tell
awkward.
My mother.
You tell
I
your mother.
It's like there's pain down there and we're kind of uneven, so... Well, what am I going to say? I
mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just curious on how that got.
It's weird that we
about.
Can be surprisingly open about that sort of thing. I mean, hell, I, you know, it's, of all the things I've said to my mother, it's like, you know, I remember once, I kid you not, I actually sat down, you're gonna hate me for this, I sat down with my mother and actually told her I was jerking it, so.
What the fuck? What?
I had actually admitted to masturbating.
Wait, why? I mean,
I don't
that's,
know. I
that's
like,
probably the best thing to do. I never thought about that, but it's probably the thing to do.
Because
like,
I needed
listen,
her at the time.
I need you to know I'm masturbating.
Yes, I needed her
so
because
if you
I needed
hear any
her
weird noises,
because
leave
me I
alone.
Wanted the Blockbuster tapes, the softcore Blockbuster tapes with the nudity.
So you put in
it.
Like a formal request. Like, you did an explanation and then put in a formal request to your mom for pornography?
Pretty much. And then I said, I'll pay you for the cost of these
tapes. That is ballsy and bold.
It
and
is
I,
weird
I
that
you.
I did that. Now, this is prior to when the internet, you could really get internet porn.
Yeah.
And I'm still not computer sophisticated enough. I'm a little bit better now. So, it just so happened that way.
You were just like, look, I'm just cut the shit here. I'm jerking it. I need spank material.
Yeah, basically, and this is when things were a bit different. So it was clearly I just wanted the.
You're like,
I wanted to see some tits.
See, usually
time,
what would
so.
Happen was like you'd have to go and get like a homeless guy to go buy you pornography, and then hide it somewhere, and then like go through like all these you know.
Yeah, it's really convoluted.
Yeah,
kids today don't know what it's like when you had to you know scrounge for your porn.
Yeah,
we were probably the last generation where we had to deal with that.
You know, you'd have to go. Here's what you'd have to do. You'd have to get a homeless guy or a drug addict or somebody or like your drunken uncle to go buy you pornography. Then you take it and then you bury it like in some like crazy rural location.
Right.
And then you have to masturbate in the woods.
Oh no! For tapes like that. I would ask my mom if she could get them for me, and then I would just pay her the cost.
So she had to go get pornography for you?
Well, I mean, this is Blockbuster softcore pornography, so this is not
even so she had to go get you pornography. You have a very kind mother.
It's a little weird like that. It's sometimes we're a bit too open. I remember once my mother...
Like, can you go give me a tape? Can you give me this tape? I got a wank.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jesus Christ.
There was another time I remember my mother, and of course, this is like the out of nowhere stuff. Where like, my mother says, "I think your sister got her period," and I got pissed off for her. For that. I was like, "Why did you tell me this? I didn't want to know."
Oh God!
I got mad at her.
Yeah.
So.
How could you get mad about that when you?
I know
her
you
you're
can't. It's just like it just
off.
Felt like stuff I shouldn't need to know about. It's
yeah.
like I figured
well, she doesn't
that.
Need to know you're beating off.
I needed her to get her the tapes. I didn't need.
That's
her.
So funny, man. That's so funny. Like, so matter of fact about that, like, but you went through your mom to get pornography. That's so like, unique. I've
once
never
again,
heard
softcore
of
pornography. Just
it's
like,
pornography is pornography.
I guess it wasn't even that close, but
well, yeah, at least kudos for keeping it classy.
I suppose, but I mean, I at least had the common decency to reimburse for the cost of the tape.
Exactly. So you were 15. So wait, where did you get the money from?
I think
your
I
grandma.
No,
you're like, grandma, I got to pay mom back for my jerk off. Yeah,
for my spank bank. But,
yeah.
At the time. I didn't work. I had a small allowance. And the other thing I remember, we had this thing where I was always concerned about my weight, so I had this kind of exercise bike in my room.
Were you a fat teenager?
I think I was fat, but I was kind of like...
You're like really skinny, man. You know.
It's kind of weird. I mean, I don't know.
Where did you get the weight complex from?
I have no idea.
Did somebody in your family?
You know what it is?
Because
I never... This is weird for me. It's just because I think the way I'm built, I never had a perfectly flat stomach. I always kind of had the stomach that rounded a little bit towards end. I mean, it wasn't a gut, but that's just how I was built.
You get to compensate by
getting a penile implant.
No.
Okay. Those don't
by
work
by working
though.
Out your pecs.
See, that's the thing. I don't have pecs, so it's a little weird how that happened. But we never had really had tits in the family anyway. So we
very well.
About the weight thing. So we had an exercise bike in my. I had an exercise bike in my room. What my mom had said to me was that, well, we'll give you a nickel a minute for working out on this machine. So if you work out for 20 minutes, we'll give you $1.
So they bribed you to work out?
Yes.
And so then you gave her the money back for pornography?
If I needed it, yes. Most of the time, it'd be like, I'd make money,
so
and then I'd go out
I just
want to.
I just want to. I'm just trying to understand. So your parents...
The workout thing
they,
was years
they
before
paid
I
you
asked
to work. Yeah, no, I know, but they pay you to work out, then you use said payment to reimburse your mother when she buys you softcore pornography videos.
Yes.
Okay.
Grant, this
that
is
a very
straight
okay.
Too,
okay.
So,
yeah.
You know,
I'm just saying I've never heard of anything like this before. I'm not judging anyone here. I just have never heard anything like this. I'm baffled.
Well, I didn't do chores, so.
Okay. Again, I'm baffled by all of these facts. This is really interesting.
Yeah,
I now want to make a fictional documentary about your childhood because
well,
this is fascinating.
It's like we didn't do chores. I didn't get paid for chores. The other thing is that I didn't get clothes for my birthday or for the holidays. So it was, you know, get clothes throughout the year. So really, after a while, it became like we really didn't get anything for birthdays or Hanukkah because, like, I only got stuff throughout the year, so that's just how it was.
Again, all very unique.
We weren't rich, but for somehow we were just like that. So, in the meantime, as I was recovering, and before I went to have dental surgery, this is a little series I like to call Ed Hawkins Tries Out This Food Product. They finally opened up a Chick-fil-A near where my dentist is. Now, I want to point out a couple of things. Chick-fil-A, a chicken joint, mainly in the South, there's only like two. I asked them, where are their other open establishments other than Santa Clarita? They said, there's one in Bakersfield and Irvine.
There's one in Valencia.
That's the one I went to.
Oh, shit.
Okay. So I went over there. I had a grilled chicken sandwich, which probably already fucked up by most of the audience because you're supposed to get the fried chicken sandwich. I didn't want the fried chicken sandwich. I wanted a grilled chicken sandwich.
Boo.
And I got the waffle fries. Now.
Oh, waffle fries.
Okay. Their fries, not very good. They suck.
How do you fuck up fries, man?
Well, they don't have any taste.
They don't have any taste?
They have no taste. They were kind of bland. They weren't very crispy.
Did you use sauce?
And then I had ketchup. They had no sauce. They weren't greasy, though, which was good, but they had no flavor.
They weren't greasy?
Well, they were
How's
fried.
How's that possible?
Well, when you fry them a certain way, you don't over, you know, they...
No, I mean, I've never heard of that with a fast food joint.
With fries not being greasy?
Yeah.
Well, if you use frozen French fries, and you fry them, they aren't like oily. So if you fuck up fries, especially like overly deep fried fries, like say you go to Carl's or you get curly fries, I can't handle that stuff because of the grease. So regular fries, I can handle it if they're not overly fried, I guess.
Yeah.
They're just really overly seasoned and breaded and all that.
So anyway, the Chick-fil-A.
So I had the grilled chicken sandwich, pretty good sandwich. What was interesting about the plate where they got it, the food was that the sandwich served me in a styrofoam container. That I never seen.
That is old school.
That is even back in our day, food was never served in the styrofoam container.
It was all cardboard.
It was all either cardboard or in a wrapper.
Yeah.
You'd have to talk about when we were maybe probably less than five. when food was still served in a styrofoam container.
Yeah.
That is even way before our day. And,
old school.
Very old school. And that was surprising. But other than that, this isn't something to really make a pilgrimage over. I didn't think the food was that great. Place seemed fine. You know, if you want to give it a shot, give it a shot. It's definitely not going to Mecca. So, like I said, Chick-fil-A, kind of an eh kind of place. Like I said, the fries, not good.
But you had the grilled chicken sandwich. That's not really a fair assessment of their entire menu, though, right?
I know, that's true. I suppose I'll have to go back at some point.
Let's do a follow-up on this.
To get a breaded chicken sandwich.
Although, I'd say for now, meh. But
the fries
overall,
the fries are very meh.
You got to try at least two products before you fully rate the
right, but at least
experience.
I got to check it out before I had dental surgery. So yeah. I did that. And then the second food item I got to try after my surgery, I was in the store, and I remember hearing about this from Vin, our guy on the boards, and also from the when I got to see Paul Sorvino speak when I was watching Goodfellas at the Newbeth.
Yes, we know.
He has a food company, right? Yeah. This is at the stores now. Paul Sorvino's tomato sauce.
Is his head on it? Like his face?
His face is on the jar.
Nice.
And I bought some sauce. A little pricier than, say, I was buying a jar of Ragu here, but...
Were you just drinking marinara sauce, or what were you doing?
No, I actually had it with pasta.
Okay, so that was cool because of the tooth thing.
Well, it was a few days after my surgery. I was fine. So I got to try the sauce out, and you know what? Certainly lower calorie, no less sodium than the other sauces. It was a little thin tasting, but it was a good quality sauce, I would say. So you can put together a good pasta sauce, I'd have to say. So I'd recommend it if you happen to see it out there, Paul Sorvino's tomato sauce. So it happened to be pretty good. I gotta recommend it. So it's not bad. Like I said, higher quality, little weak tasting, but pretty good all overall. So I got to try out a new celebrity food product.
Excellent.
So in the meantime, as I was recovering from this dental surgery, I also watched a bunch of movies. I first off want to mention I saw The Town, which was great.
I haven't seen it yet. Please don't spoil it.
I'm not gonna spoil anything. Very good. Although probably they should have gotten Ben Affleck shouldn't cast himself in it, but it's not a big downer. It was very, very good. Even though you knew how things were going to play out, once again, very good. I liked it a lot because of the setting and the use of geography. So I really think that's what really sells it, because I've never been to Boston. So I really enjoyed that. Jeremy Renner was great. So I really recommend it. And what I'm also looking forward to is obviously The Social Network. I can't believe it. You know, don't boo The Social Network. Why are you booing The Social Network? Why?
I don't know. It looks stupid.
It's not stupid. You're stupid. So
fair enough.
I think it's something because there's been a lot of good press on it. The fact that they're already proceeding out with ads with critical blurbs on it. All right. So it's got Peter Travers on it, which is not at all that great of a sign. But the fact that they're doing that, that means something. And oh yeah, when I first heard about this, I was like, they're gonna make a movie about the founding of Facebook? Eh, why? And then the other thing is like, it starts in 2003. Because I'm like, oh, okay. Which is kind of funny. It's like, how do you, other than like some references, that pretty much means now, except for like some technology.
Not really, man. 2003, in like 7 years, it's come a long way.
Well, I mean, there's gonna be some subtle differences, but you tell me the way people dress any differently, or no?
I don't know.
It's all it is.
That was before like the whole super emo thing happened.
That was going on.
Yeah, but not like it is now.
No, emo kind of passed. What are you talking about?
No, but I mean like everybody doing that like pseudo scene stuff.
Oh, the hipster stuff?
Yeah.
I would state that it was around, but it was not as prevalent. I think what the tip off would be is cell phones, because that's your biggest thing, and then maybe if there's some new metal involved. Other than that, there's not really going to be...
Google hadn't taken over the earth yet?
Google existed back then.
I didn't say it didn't exist. I'm saying it didn't take over the world.
Right. Like I said, there's going to be some references.
There was no Google Reader.
There's no Google Reader. There's no Google Chrome.
Blogs weren't as big as that.
There were blogs around.
I didn't say there weren't blogs. Listen to what I'm telling you.
But
listen,
the media hadn't captured.
Listen. Okay. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying these things were not as pronounced as they are now.
That's true. But they were around. And it's so... Like, if you take, for example, like a show like Undeclared, which is from 2001, except for maybe the computers, everything else, people dress like
well,
that.
Well, on TV, it's different because they do that, like, neutral kind of style, and they don't have to mention things if they don't want to. They can still construct an entire story without using, you know, sophisticated technology or whatever. It's just people yelling at each other or some shit.
Right. But yeah, so I look forward to this. I've been hearing some really good stuff, and so can't wait to see it. Don't boo it.
Boo.
Although it's obviously that there's now a lot of stories about, you know, Mark Zuckerberg not talking. It's like shocking that this technical genius is a weirdo.
Yeah.
You know, not that I wouldn't murder someone to work for that company, but I'm sure they could use a bill payer over there. But it'd be a little weird though, being that the head boss is the same age as you. Though it's like, okay then. Yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly. But I look forward to it, and I'm sure it'll be really, really good. It's gonna be weird seeing David Fincher, like, just, it's not a serial killer movie, it's just kind of like, it's gonna be like his Insider, basically.
Yeah.
That's the way I'm gonna think of it.
I recently saw The Insider.
Isn't it fantastic?
It's a great movie. It's a little long, though. I thought they could have cut off a cool hour of that movie.
Perhaps, but I think it's definitely Michael Mann's best. I would argue.
It's his best
movie.
I think it's really good. I don't think it's the best, though.
Well, it's certainly Al Pacino's best.
What?
No, let me rephrase it.
What?
The last good movie he did, last really good performance he had in at least 10 years.
Possibly. He did a great job in it, yeah.
Oh,
like, Russell Crowe was way better.
Oh, yeah, he was great. And
what's his name?
Christopher Plummer was my
boss. Yeah,
yeah. He was great,
amazing.
Wasn't he?
He was
really was.
And that concludes our movie from...
From 1999.
Yeah, our movie review from something.
So yeah,
11
other
years
stuff
ago.
I watched while I was recovering. This was great on InstaView. They had the Warriors original cut.
Oh yeah,
which was amazing. The picture looked great, by the way.
It did. I
and
saw it. Yeah.
It was great to just rewatch it. We hadn't seen it in a while because I'd always heard that there was only the director's cut available, and then you hear, oh wow, the original cut, which I'm glad you have found. And it was great to see that movie again. It's a really fantastic movie, and it really moves because it really feels shorter than it is. It's only 98 minutes long. And I always thought, I mean, thank God that remake never took off. And the question I had when I was watching this is like, the movie works because it just keeps moving, because if you gave it any thought, it wouldn't make sense. Like, what do these gangs do all day? What do the Baseball Furies do all day?
They just hang, man.
I guess they hang. They don't...
They hang in their secret headquarters.
I guess. It's like they don't rough anybody up. They're not a mob.
Yeah.
What do they do all day? I guess the Warriors are the same thing. They
mischief.
They just work on their costumes.
They get into mischief.
I guess. They have just their sweet vests, and that's about it. It kind of led to the thing about, like, I don't know. It's like, what would I have? Man, if I had a gang in that movie, it's like, what?
What would your gang be in the movie?
This would have to be everyone would wear a V-neck. That'd be the
well. That's
the
what would you guys be called?
I guess the
V-necks
or the V-necks.
The Hawks.
The Hawkins.
The
not
Hawkins.
The Hawks. Because someone already probably called themselves the Hawks.
Okay.
Probably
yeah.
be the Hawkins.
The Hawkins.
Or just the V-neck squad. So
V-neck.
They were just all hanging around normal. Just happened to be in a gang. It's the most nonchalant gang ever.
So wait, do you guys wear V-necks, shorts, and then the colored striped socks?
Oh, that's a good one.
With sandals over them?
No sandals over them. They just wear, you know, they can wear chucks.
Loafers? Chucks?
Loafers, yeah, if they feel like it.
Very good.
But they always have to wear the V-neck. Because, and you know what's crazy? I actually learned about that movie. Like, part of it was based on, like, a Greek myth or something. The classic Behind Enemy Lines thing and all
that.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. You know what? That was fantastic to rewatch that movie. And then I also saw another...
Wait a second.
What?
I want to talk about my gang. We talked about
this
prior.
What would your gang be?
You didn't ask me what my gang would be.
What gang? What would your gang be?
I would have a nerd gang.
What would they be called?
I don't know.
The nerd gang?
I guess. We'll just
what
go with the
wear?
Nerd gang for now. They wear comic book t-shirts.
Okay.
Thick rimmed glasses.
Okay.
And whatever the fuck
they carry
else.
A weapon?
Who gives a shit? No, here's the thing. They don't actually do anything. They're very inactive. Most of them are overweight. And we don't even go to meetings. Like, we would never have been involved in what happened in the movie because we would just teleconference in everywhere.
Okay.
We'd have one guy.
Psyched in.
One guy, yeah. One guy would carry on a laptop. And it would be kind of like the scene in Dark Knight where Lao, you know, communicated with the mafia heads via TV. It'd be kind of like that.
Someone wheeled in a TV.
Yeah, we'd be cool. We'd be fine. Yeah.
Would they have the gag where, like, then the cops show up and someone carries the TV? It's like, get me out of here!
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And just runs off with the TV.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move.
Oh, yeah. And then another, so that's a great idea, actually, even better than mine. But like I said, it's kind of funny to take seriously a bunch of roller skating mimes. It's like, are we supposed to be intimidated by this? Or
I was confused by half of the gangs in the movie.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing where you can't take too seriously. I mean, the Warriors...
No, you can't take it seriously.
You can't. The Warriors, you could see them actually fucking some guys up. But some of these gangs, this is not possible. It really is
not. It's not happening.
And then
it's
you have a David Schwimmer-led gang. It's like, could you imagine the guy who looks like David Schwimmer actually running a gang?
There was, that was based on a book. Do you know anything about this?
No, I never knew that. It was supposed to be on a book.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it when I was watching it. I was like, what the fuck is this book about? Like, I wonder if it's the same thing, if it's as hokey or if it's, like, you know, more... Was it intended to be serious and then they just kind of twisted it into this crazy, right. crazy movie or what happened?
I mean, what sells it is obviously the setting, once again, and then the music. So, and then James Remar was one of the warriors.
James Remar, the man.
Yep. You know, also, you know, still somehow appearing in Dexter, we don't know why. And then another movie I saw was Runaway Train, which was, that's also on Instaview right now. Instaview's been really taken
off. What is that one?
Runaway Train is with John Voight. Eric Roberts.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
On a runaway train. It is a Canon production.
Yes.
The mark of quality. Everyone in the control room is a moron. Eric Roberts, I think, is it's Gravedigger who said, he's pretty much doing, is like Matthew McConaughey, and John Boyd's doing some kind of New York accent thing through the entire thing. And the movie's ridiculous, but great photography of Alaska. Other than that, it's such a B movie, it's not even funny. So.
Is that the movie that they're remaking into that Denzel Washington?
Derailed?
Yeah.
Surprisingly not, because Denzel Washington is not a he's not an escapee. He's just a train conductor. It's kind of weird that just basically taking a Pelham 123, putting it above ground with a runaway train. So
no,
it's kind of like
that's not the same thing as taking a Pelham.
Okay, it just involves a train.
That's the only connection, and that's incredibly that's very thin.
Yeah, it's gonna be garbage anyway.
It looks like crap. Yeah.
I know. Although they had Star Trek 09 also. That was great once again. And then you know what else I saw? The original Star Trek the motion picture. Wow, that's really boring. So
were all the other Star Trek movies.
Don't you say that about Star Trek 2 now.
I fucking hate Star Trek 2.
How dare you, sir?
I actively hate Star Trek 2.
How can
and
you
I
not?
Tried,
I got misty-eyed.
I tried rewatching that movie recently, too, and it's so slow and so boring. And
Star Trek. If you found Star Trek 2 to be slow, Star Trek 1's going to be even worse.
Yeah, it's funny. I like Robert Wise, but I can't get behind
it. Well, here's
movie.
The thing I think what it is with Star Trek 1, and there's a lot of things. They had a lot of script problems, which is known. I think what it is that you could have had... I mean, the visuals, once again, are very good. It's the kind of story and the way they shot it that should not have been for Star Trek. Star Trek works probably best, and I'm not even really a Star Trek guy, but from the little I see, works best on these small character stories. It's not these broad, sweeping 2001-esque space opera-like movies.
Well, it's not like Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly, and that was the problem. And
although Star Wars had a good balance of great characterization and plots,
that
character driven plots, but also with a large scale.
There was no way to. Shatner was really no way to rein in Shatner. You could have had that story of what was in Star Trek, and maybe put it to something like maybe use some other characters, and maybe a good story. Although the funny thing is, and spoiler alert for Star Trek the motion picture, they used the Voyager spacecraft, right? Well, that was reused way better in Starman. Because it was, and Starman's a great movie.
Oh, the
with Jeff Bridges and John.
No, Parker. No. The model that was made for it.
Well, what happens in Starman is that the Voyager 1 is subsumed by some alien being. In Star Trek: The Motion Picture, the Voyager 1 once again also gets subsumed by an alien being, and they create this machine out of it, you know, and to reclaim everything. So,
like the Borg or what?
It's in Star Trek 1. It kind of is. Because it's just absorbing everything for knowledge. And
oh, it's like Brainiac.
It's
kind of
like Brainiac in that Voyager 1 lands on this like machine planet. The machines build this machine around the Voyager, and they send it back to its creator. And it ends up having, where Steven, the guy, the dad from Seventh Heaven, ends up having to become one with the machine to calm it down, and it just goes off.
What's up with that? They did that in Superman 2 also. That was supposed to be Superman 3. There's supposed to be a Brainiac story, but they turned it into this whole robot that consumes things and turns things. There was like this obsession around that time.
I don't know.
All that stuff.
Well, you know, it was
like
a
early
big 80s. Crisis thing, I think.
Early 80s, big old. And then Tron was about that and everything, like interfacing with machines and stuff.
Yeah. And then the other thing I watched was. Because I just remember it's being obscure 70s stuff, although Star Trek most picture is not obscure.
Not obscure. Not even
obscure.
Close.
Not obscure, but
not even close
I watched
obscure.
A movie called Over the Edge with featuring Matt Dillon in this first role. You ever see this movie?
Oh, Christ. I don't think so.
Fantastic movie. I learned about it from Trailers from Hell. Amazing movie about kids in the middle of bumfuck nowhere in some planned community, do nothing, get into a shit ton of trouble, fuck some shit up. Great movie that really summarizes the hell that it is being in a planned community with nothing to do. And it's I really, once again, I highly recommend it. I don't think it wasn't on InstaView, but DVD was pretty good. And really good stuff. Really good stuff. It's funny you talk about that because I was renewing my driver's license, but I had to go back to up to Santa Clarita again. And the DMV office was up near my old high school, so I walked by my old high school. And it's funny to think, like, you know, because I didn't do much in high school, and I said, the hell, you know, I did what I had to do, and I got out.
Just did drugs.
I didn't do any drugs. Oh. Still haven't done any drugs.
Oh.
So, and it's funny to think, like, because I was watching the show Skins, which was, I shouldn't have done, which is about, like, these really twatty British teens in, like, high school, and they get all this crazy shit, and I think, like, I never got into that stuff, and I sometimes wonder, it's like, you know, what could have been, but really those opportunities weren't there. And then the other thing I think about,
well, Santa Clarita, there's nothing going on out there.
That's right, and I had no car, and I didn't do anything anyway, and I had no friends.
Santa Clarita, to be clear, is out in the mountains.
It's past the second set of mountains. It's north of here, and there's really nothing to do. It's pretty dead. And then the funny thing is, like, I'm glad, you know, like, sometimes it's like, well, you know, wonder, like, would I want to go back to being 17? And it's like, well,
would you want to be Zac Efron? Is that what you're saying?
Oh God, I don't know about that. I'd be like 4 inches shorter, and he doesn't even have that hair anymore. So, no, I guess. But
that's solid reasons.
Yeah, very solid reasons. Not the millions of dollars. Not the fact I'd look like a dead-eyed, I don't know what, but the fact he got supplanted
by dead-eyed male sex toy.
Pretty much. Not the kind I'd go for anyway. But he got supplanted by Justin Bieber, and it's funny I mentioned that. He had the now. Here's the thing, and this got the internet up in arms because he made some statement that he was like this generation's Kurt Cobain.
Yes.
Okay, we all jumped on.
I agree
on
with
for that.
That.
You agree that he's this generation's Kurt Cobain?
How could you not agree with that?
I
don't agree with that.
Well, obviously he wasn't alive at the time he Cobain offed himself. Now, do you remember him offing himself?
Yeah.
I do too.
I mean, I wasn't there, but I remember.
Obviously, we were not there. We didn't see him offing himself.
We don't know anything about that. Personally.
But we heard about the news. It was big news on the schoolyard.
That's
like,
right.
Sure.
Yeah.
While we were talking about Animaniacs, but
that was before Animaniacs, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was 1994.
Oh, okay.
So it was around that time. So he said this something stupid. Obviously, he wasn't. I don't think the guy was alive at the time that Cobain offed himself. But more importantly, as much as this was bad, horrible thing to say,
he was like born that year.
He was born that year, which makes us feel depressed.
So he's probably the reincarnated Kurt Cobain.
Jesus Christ.
Go ahead, sorry.
But, you know, I'm going to have to say 16-year-old dumb fuck. You know, what 16-year-old doesn't say something incredibly stupid like that anyway?
16-year-olds are required to say stupid things
you
all the time.
You say stupid... Frankly, we're not even out of the area of saying stupid things. I can assure you.
We say stupid things every weekend.
You're damn right. Oh, God, are you right.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking about going back to being like a teenager again and going back to high school, it's like I didn't do
you
anything.
You want to be Justin Bieber? Is that where this is going?
Fucking hell no.
Or wait.
Although it's funny you mentioned.
Wait, you want to be Kurt Cobain? I'm confused. Where's
I don't
this going?
Know. Let me get to my point. I'm just saying, although it's funny going back
what
to.
What the hell is your point?
I'm getting to it, goddammit. It's funny going back to just mentioning about Bieber. I was reading some comment online where some guy who's a teacher was talking about how he would see his students try to recreate that haircut, and it would take a lot of effort to have him not burst out laughing.
Yeah, that's some awful hair, man.
It is an awful haircut.
It's Zac Efron's fault, too, because Efron got the out-of-control hair. I saw him on Saturday Night Live one time. He had way too much hair going on, and it was, like, alive. It was, like, eating half of his head.
Yeah.
It was like, just consuming his head and his face.
Right.
And then Bieber's got this thing that just defies
it's like a dome.
Physics. It's just insane.
I think it was some comic online that had said that it was hiding something, maybe unicorn horn. Or, like, someone wrote, like, the greatest day in his life was when his mom combed his hair forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think the one thing I'm, like, I would not miss because I, you know, being now... workaday drone. I'm not in college anymore. I've graduated, and the one thing I don't miss is that I don't have to do homework. I don't have to take, and that was the one thing in high school and even in college, is like I had to work, you know, I had homework. And I'd have to do homework on the weekends, and I have to do, God forbid, group work. And I'm like,
well, you didn't have to, but
well, you'd if you want to pass a class, you'd have to. So
actually, I didn't do any work when I was in school, and they passed me anyway. They do that whole thing with
the miracle of public education.
Oh yeah, it was great. You didn't have to do anything.
But at Exeter, where I went, no, I'm kidding.
Sorry, yeah, I didn't go to fancy.
Neither did I.
Fancy super school over here.
I know. But yeah, you'd have to do all the schoolwork, and I mean, even at the job I do, where I'm like buckling under the amount of work I have to do, I don't take any of that work home with me. So it's the one kind of great freedom I don't have to, you know, I don't
well
have to
fuck you because I work at home. So
yeah, but you work at home, that's your job.
I know, but I'm saying like every day is like homework.
No, it isn't, because that's your job.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's
but
like
then
professional.
I do my work at work.
Yeah, but like then work and home blends together and you're
but
just
then
working
you can
constantly.
Do your job in the nude if you want to.
That's right, and I often do.
You know, if you want to look at some pornography while you're working, you know, fine. Eat a sandwich, naked, fine. Do what you want, I don't care.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, speaking about work, you know, as I say, the job search continues because I want, because I'm bored. My current job, I am employed. So that's all there is to it. But
yeah, let's just take a moment to appreciate the fact that you have a job right
yes.
now at all.
That's very true.
At this rate of unemployment.
You know, it's shocking that I knew people that would make fun of me for being employed.
What
the fuck?
You're serious?
I'm not
What kind
joking.
Of fucking slackers are you hanging out with?
I don't hang out with these people.
They're like,
anymore.
Look at this guy, Mr. Job, Mr. Not mooching off his parents.
I know.
Here.
How dare he bathe regularly and have money to buy food?
Yeah.
You know?
And not live
and
in
And work.
Not live in someone's closet out in Santa Monica.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't want to mention who are these individuals, as I said. Dude.
Yeah. Well, fuck you guys.
Yes. Yes. I want to mention in my job search, I actually got a call back from this particular job.
American Apparel, finally?
No. So this job placement agency, one of the many you've already heard of, which are pointless in my view, they've never gotten me a job. They call me back. I'm surprised. After the first time, the second time I interviewed with them after 2 years. So they want to have me do an interview with this particular employer. Well, they didn't really, okay, they told me it's like, this would be right up your alley. Okay. They didn't give me any details of the job. So I go ahead and meet. Now, I put on the Doctor Who suit. Because those are the better of the two
and
suits.
And you climb
I
in the TARDIS. And you transport yourself out to.
I did.
Where was this?
Out in Westwood.
Westwood.
Yeah. And I go ahead and do this. I wore a blue shirt with a striped red tie. Okay, I look like I was from 1978. I'm sorry. But the suit fit better. So I go ahead and do the interview. The guy's a nice guy. He didn't really talk. I mean, the problem was we didn't even talk about the position all that much. He's like, you know.
Was it in a real place? Was this like a. Was it like.
It was
a,
at the job placement.
It wasn't like an abandoned building or something?
No.
Or the
but,
Burger
I mean,
King?
What's screwed up is that the placement agency didn't even tell me what the job was. I mean, they gave me the title. They didn't. They fucked up, bro. This was bullshit.
Wait, so this was because of an agency?
The agency called
the
me
agency
back.
Agency finally called you back after 2 years? And then they sent you to talk to some guy who had
well,
no job?
Well, let me back up. I went there 2 years ago. They never responded back. I applied for another job that was apparently gone through them, okay? So then I interviewed for that job and never got placed. They call me back saying we have this other job. So this is the third job. And I come in, I interview with the guy. He says, you know, you have the voice for broadcasting. Oh, really? He's like, yeah, I get that a lot. And we talk about it, and I mention, you know, I've, like, done podcasts. And, like, and the guy mentions, like, oh, I've, you know, like, you know, I know people in the entertainment field, blah, blah, blah. We never talked about the position, which is fucked up. And then later on, we talked for like 20 minutes about movies and all that stuff.
Did you ask about the position?
I talked about, you know, why I wanted to move further in the account, you know.
Did you ask him, like, what the job was, though?
No, I knew what the job was, but I didn't know the exact specifics. They never...
Well, you're supposed to ask. You're supposed to ask about that, though.
I know. They should and usually...
No, you're supposed to ask.
I did, actually. Prior, I spoke to the person who was handling
this. No, the guy that you interview with. During the interview, you got to ask about the job. That's how they test you for if you're paying attention and you're good to be in the position. Because you need to take responsibility.
Well, they asked me about myself. I mentioned
not
stuff.
Yourself, the position, the job. That you have to go in when they go. One of the this is always it's unspoken, but it's a rule of interviewing.
Yeah.
If someone calls you in, you got to ask about the position. If you don't ask about the position, they basically give you a nice go fuck yourself, and then you never get the job. That's just how it works.
Yeah, I should have let in with that because I've been in interviews where they always start off, well, tell me a little bit about yourself, and then they go into
it's
the
not,
position.
But they don't even want, they don't give a shit.
I know.
They don't care about, like,
they
just
want to
know if you can do, they want to see if you can do the job. Like, if you're, they want to make sure you're not a sociopath,
right.
And that you can do the job.
Damn it.
And if your social skills are right.
Right.
And so while you were talking about yourself, you should have been talking about the job. You should have said, forget about me. We're here to talk about this. We got not verbatim, but right. I mean, like, you know.
I mean, I even talked about
enough,
you know,
about not enough about this job.
My work.
Let's talk about me.
Right.
That's not how that works.
I know. I talked about my work background, why I think I'd be good for the job. But
that's irrelevant.
I should have thought. I didn't think of that. And so I ended up talking with the guy. We ended up talking about. He led the whole thing about movies, and he talked about, oh, I know people in the entertainment field. Of course, he took a phone call during the interview, so we knew this whole thing was fucking bullshit anyway. And
that could have been important.
Well, it was a legitimate call. I will have to say that, although I thought this was still odd.
It sucks, but still. Like,
yeah.
But also, you guys were just yakking about nothing, so it's not like...
I know, which was a massive red flag. And so we ended up getting to the point of, like, I think it was mentioning... we're talking about movies, and he said, what are your favorite movies? I mentioned Blade Runner. I was like, oh, yeah, who's in that? It's like, yeah, Harrison Ford, Sean. I was like, yeah, he said that's before she went crazy, when she was talking James Woods, right? I said, yeah, it's funny you mentioned James Woods.
Oh, my God, you didn't...
I actually mentioned the fact there was an incident...
Where he cock-slapped the guy in the face?
I didn't use those words.
You told him that story during the job interview?
I said, you know what, I said...
Were you trying not to get this job, dude?
Didn't matter. The guy said I was too light for the job, which I don't... My skills were too light.
Yeah, because he wanted to get you the fuck out of there because he was freaking him out, dude.
He said he wanted to hear about it. I said, okay.
What did you... Okay, I know you well enough to know that you teased at the story, and then the guy was like, well, now I want to hear it.
Right.
Because you, like, told him a little bit.
I mentioned that all the stories about James Woods having the business down there are true.
Oh, fuck, man. Fuck. I can't believe you did that, dude. That is... A, that's unprofessional. B, it's creepy. And furthermore, I don't know what the fuck you were thinking.
I was just saying
that's
all
insane.
The...
You know,
I
that's
know, it was
insane.
A stupid move.
You lost your fucking mind, dude.
I just...
You lost your
but
mind.
You know what? The interview was moving
You
anyway.
Lost your mind. I am horrified right now. I can't believe that shit.
But somehow the atmosphere was such that you could have brought that to me at the time. I was like, you know what?
What the fuck are you talking about? That's never, ever... When the fuck... When the... what the fuck, man?
I didn't say he cock-slapped the man on while filming.
It doesn't
the
matter. That's weird, dude. Why didn't you just talk about glass ass while you were at it? It's
no.
The same thing.
I didn't do that because it would
have
no,
have you ever
had
seen
no bearing with Sean Young. So
there's no bearing on that. That's a weak connection. That sounds like you went out of your way to talk about James Woods' cock.
I don't know.
You did. You did. Did
can't
you?
Believe it pulled it off, though.
Was it? Oh my God, dude! I can't believe that. I can't believe that shit, man. I can't... What the
it
fuck?
It didn't, like, I didn't bring it up out of nowhere. It's like, you know, because he...
What do you mean? What are you talking about? There's no... He said Blade Runner, and then you guys talked about Sean Young, and then it plummeted
he
into a discussion
James
about James Woods' cock. Who the fuck... What? You could talk about anybody's cock or anything at any point, at any minute of the day, and you refrain from doing so. But in a job interview... Of all places.
I just mentioned there was a famous film incident involving James Woods.
Yeah. Oh, that's how you
yeah.
presented it? Yeah. And then he was like, oh, I would like to hear that. That sounds interesting.
I said, you know, really? It's not all that appropriate. He said, no, don't worry about it. Just go on. It's like, all right. So.
Yeah, and you know what that means? That sounds like maybe he threw up by accident or something like that. He wasn't talking about his cock. That's crazy, dude.
I just said, well, you know, James Woods, you know, all those rumors about him having business down there are true.
There's no. No,
it was
man.
All mood anyway.
No.
I knew it wasn't like the
no.
hell with it.
Okay.
Talking
I thought
about
not. I thought not talking about the job was bad. Telling
the
stories of a movie star's cocks is not helping you get a job.
The guy
dude.
Clearly didn't want. I don't know why I was brought in the first place. If he didn't want me there, that's
he didn't want you there because the interview went like shit. That's the worst interview I've ever heard of. That's terrible.
I gotta say, at least it was a good way to go
would
down.
Would you be? There's got to be a better way to say that. Would you be surprised at all if it was a reverse scenario and I said, I went on this job interview, I didn't get it. And he said, what happened? And I was like, well, I told a story about so-and-so's cock.
I said, how did this come
I
up?
Told my best cock story and they still didn't
I
hire
said,
me.
What was the context of how this
it
came up?
It doesn't matter.
No, you're taking it out of context.
I'm not taking it out of context. You talked about an actor's cock during a job interview. That's as simple as it gets.
Well, I went down on the blaze of glory, I did.
I hope it was worth it.
Well, he said he ultimately said, I didn't want your job anyway, but I wanted to get to know you. Why the hell was I brought in then?
Because he just rejected you on the spot. Because you didn't mention the job. You only talked about yourself. And then when you were done, you talked about somebody's cock. That's a perfect... That's grounds for dismissal.
I mentioned my desire as to why I wanted this position, as to what I
that's
saw
all
ego, of my experience.
That's all egocentric. Why? That's not hard fact.
I was trying to lay down why it was...
No, you got to say, like, you got to go, like, man, this is my work experience. I'm good at this. I'm good at that. And that's why you should hire me.
I even brought that up.
And also, what the fuck is the job? What do you need me to do? Can you do... And then he tells you what you can do. Oh, yeah, I can do that. That's easy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. That's all you do. You don't start talking about cocks and shit.
He didn't bring any of that up, though. That's the thing.
You got to bring it up.
I know.
No, you don't. You're not getting it, man.
Well, I figured
I'm deeply concerned for your continued job.
The fact... Well, now
deeply concerned.
Now I know.
Cox. Hey, by the way, don't tell cock stories at job interviews is what you should walk away from. You take this... Anybody listening, okay, if you've never...
Never... Unless you're shooting for porn.
Yeah, and even then, I still think it's a little unprofessional.
I can assure you, for some reason, I don't know, it was all probably useless.
Were you drunk?
I wish I was. It was a waste of time. I don't understand why. If the guy said I was too light,
Are you not hearing me?
Yeah, I'm hearing.
Are you not hearing me, dude? Are you not listening?
Jesus.
Did you hear yourself? What you just told me? That's why you didn't get hired.
I can't believe I did it either.
That's why he gave you the excuse that you were too light for the job. They called you in. They wanted you on the job. You made a shitty impression during a terrible nightmare interview, and then they said they didn't want you anymore. That's very simple math.
The hell with it.
Yes.
The guy,
You're not feeling nearly as bad enough about this as you should. I'm gonna.
Because I have the feeling the guy didn't want me anyway. It was just brought in for some unknown reason.
No,
I don't know.
There's
why.
No such thing. It's not an unknown reason.
Keep talking about why I had a voice for broadcasting.
He could have just been a compliment. Like, I went on a really bad job interview. The one time I really learned how to go on a good job interview was going to a lousy job interview where they called me in at the last minute. I had to rush across town. I went in for the interview. I was a little bit out of it because I just wasn't expected to go on an interview this day. It just didn't work out, and I was real quiet. That was the only thing I did wrong, was I didn't ask any questions. So we sat down, and I just, they talked about my previous experience. I told them a little bit about myself.
Yeah, the guy didn't...
Then they asked me about the job and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I can do it. And I didn't say much, and then they didn't want me. They rejected me, except the interview wasn't like a nightmare. But I just didn't make a good impression.
The guy didn't mention anything about the position. I've never been in an interview that didn't talk about the position, what it entailed, what he was looking for. I didn't get asked any of that.
That's weird.
That's what tells me that
the whole thing is weird. But still, you gotta talk about the job.
Yeah.
Not about anything else.
Total waste of time. It's like, why the guy thought it was probably because I. Yeah, you're probably right, because I told that story, but still,
cock
I can't
story.
Say I wouldn't have been.
Let me tell you where it all went wrong. Cock story. That's where it ended.
You tell me if I didn't go to the crack offices and I talked with the man
no,
O'Brien.
No, you don't tell cock stories. You tell a cock story to anyone during a job interview, and you're not getting that job. Unless you are going for American Apparel. Maybe. Because that dude who runs it is a freak. But you wouldn't be interviewing with the CEO anyway.
I know. That's true.
Whatever.
That's true. Yeah, I
Well,
I
that
do.
Is a nightmare, sir. Nice work.
I wouldn't have brought that up if you didn't mention
it. Doesn't matter.
The
it doesn't matter.
Presented itself.
There is no excuse. None. Cock stories in a job
I can
interview.
Tell you I didn't bring that up when I interviewed for Hulu. I can assure you that.
Fucking A, man.
Sure I can.
What the fuck? You're reasonable, intelligent man going in, making these horrible mistakes.
God.
I hope it never happens again.
It will not happen again.
I hope
to Christ.
Show some fucking restraint, man. Just a little bit. How long was the thing? How long did this go on
20
for?
Minutes.
20 minutes and you couldn't withhold a cock story?
It
wasn't like you guys...
because he mentioned James.
It's not
once.
Like you guys spent like hours together and you were having drinks and then you just came out with the cock story.
God damn it.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
What the fuck?
Blaze of glory, my friend.
Jesus Christ.
Well... I still blame it on the job placement agency not for fully briefing on this position where they spend
that
themselves.
That is not, no.
Well, I wouldn't have brought it up.
I would take a little more responsibility if I was you.
Fuck it, I'm not. So.
You are passing the buck.
You damn right I am. You goddamn right.
Yeah, like, it's your fault. You didn't tell me I couldn't tell a cock story on this interview.
No, I'm not talking about
that. So what, we can't talk about James Wood Schlong? Is that what this is now? It's not a free country? Huh? Huh?
Hey, if I was doing Senate confirmation hearing, I would not be talking about James Woods' win.
That's what you gotta treat a job interview like.
Oh, I do.
You're supposed to make your best impression. That's why you dress up, you go, you act like a normal human being, you lie and say you know how to do all the work that they tell you they can do, you lie your ass off, and then they give you the job, and then you fail it, you struggle with it the entire time, and then slowly the ruse is lifted, but by that point, they can't fire you, so it's cool.
I feel that it wouldn't have mattered anyway, so...
No, it would have.
It would have just been, we don't want you here.
It would have been, this is a great interview. Thanks for asking about the job. It sounds like you're a competent worker and we could fit you in, and we'll see you on Monday. Not go fuck off. I don't want to hear any more about James Woodcock.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It probably was a little bit shady anyway. Yeah. Shady.
way to be in denial.
Hey, man, blaze of glory, I say. I will never do that again. I may have committed the 9/11 of interviews right there.
I think you did.
Okay.
You're an interview terrorist. You had a long discussion with your brain, whatever hemisphere of your brain fucked you over there, and just figure
speaking,
out what's
speaking
going
of stream of consciousness, just to switch gears, I saw Max Headroom the other night. It's pretty damn 80s.
Yeah, it is.
Really freaking 80s.
It's really... There's lots of fog, lots of neon lights.
Well, basically, it's like Blade Runner, the TV series. And Jeffrey Tambor.
It does not look nearly that good.
That's true. It's in that era when I like the thing that it's the alternative future where IBM created Windows and they never did anything with it. So everyone assumed, like, because you would have taken the universe of Max Headroom, changed TV to internet, you would have had now, but it was all TV. So somehow their TV's littered everywhere. I don't know why. It's all right, but I'm, as much as I love the 80s, it's a little much.
It's really fucking 80s. It's of its time to the point
very
where,
of its
to
time.
The point where it was immediately irrelevant.
It was dated the moment it came.
Right.
And it's very funny because Matt Frewer was 29 when he shot that. He does not look 29. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't look human, so it's tough to gauge.
Yeah. And then my dad would always chime in, like, yeah, they used prosthesis when they had the shot the Max Headroom parts because they didn't have the CGI. It wasn't fancy enough for that to happen.
Of course, yeah.
And then there's the, I'm watching now. DVD's not bad. It's by Shout Factory, which
did
freaks
Did you rent it?
Huh?
You rented Max
Headroom? Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I was just curious.
Okay. Yeah. It was,
I thought you saw it on a whim. I thought you just came across it.
No. It's, they finally released the DVD set, and I Netflixed it. I got it. And,
fascinating.
Yeah, I watched it. Not bad of a show, I will say, but like I said...
I don't remember the plots of the show. Like, what the hell happened?
Basically, and I used to have the TV theme on a CD of TV themes, but...
That has nothing to do with it.
Well, that's how I came across it in the first place. But the idea is it's a future dystopia, 20 minutes into the future, and...
20 minutes into the future?
That's the official setting, and...
20 minutes from now?
Yes.
Always?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's like the world next Sunday AD in Mr. Science Theater 3000, but... So in the show, Matt Frewer plays Edison Carter, a journalist. He's a TV reporter for this Channel 23. And Jeffrey Tambor is his boss, still bald. And
still old.
Always bald. And he's got a pretty good stash in this, though.
Oh, nice.
And what happens in the show, in the pilot episode, is that he's escaping from some bad guys. And
who is this?
Matt Frewer.
Oh,
and
okay.
He gets knocked out. Some kid, who's like this hacker genius, downloads his memories into the computer and creates a CGI character, and that becomes Max Headroom. The name Max Headroom comes from the fact Frewer banged his head on a parking arm that said Max Headroom. So that's where the name Max Headroom comes.
Oh, okay, okay.
And... It's so then Max Headroom is the alter ego, but Edison Carter is Edison Carter. It's not like Edison Carter becomes Max Headroom. They're two separate things.
So he plays two characters on the show?
He plays two characters, but they're two separate people.
I get that. Yeah.
And I've been watching a few of the episodes. They're not bad.
But they are the opposite of good?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna say this is the greatest TV. It's very quirky. It was originally a British movie, and you can tell. I mean, it's just a very
that makes
British,
a lot of sense because that whole like I don't know what film stock they would use back in the day.
It's
that.
Weird that they used it, it's shot on video. I can tell it is. And then what they have this thing is that a lot of like the reporters do carry their own video camera. So there'll be a lot of stuff like shot from a video camera perspective. So it's got that real video quality, and it's mixed
just
with
that higher frame rate. It looks really weird, like
higher
really
frame
fast
rate, home video look. On certain parts,
it looks almost sped up compared to movie quality.
Yeah, and then there's also a woman by the name of Amanda Pays. That's her last name, Pays, and she's in it. Like I said, for stuff that's in a quirky TV, I'd say why not. Matt Frewer's not a bad, bad actor, I'd say.
Yeah. Do you remember Matt Frewer played... He's been in a million things. He's been in a bunch of great stuff, a bunch of shitty stuff. He played the villain in the TV pilot movie thing for Generation
X.
He
did. He was also obviously tracking...
He played essentially the Riddler. He just... Yeah. They just recreated...
And he played, his probably best known role was in The Stand. By the way, I didn't know this. I didn't know The Stand was in 1994. I always thought it was 1992. I remember that shit.
I remember that being 94.
Yeah, I remember it coming out.
That was not a very good movie, was it? I don't remember it. I mean, wasn't the guy from Coach in it? He played like the big dumb guy.
He played, yeah.
And then
Bill Fager.
And then, by the way, I know why I hate that shit too, because the villain's name Randall. Fuck
that's
that,
right.
Dude. Randall
Flagg
is the fucking devil, man.
I know that must have pissed you off.
That was bullshit. finally get my name in a show, and it's some fucking.
And then Recess shows
bullshit
up.
Bullshit thing, huh?
The show, the cartoon Recess. You never.
Was he in there? Was he a voice on there?
No, I'm just saying there was a character named Randall.
Oh, was there? I never saw that.
Yeah, you're probably not gonna like.
I only watch cool cartoons.
Recess was a good cartoon.
Burn.
Damn it. So yeah.
Snap.
He was. God, the Generation X.
That was horrendous. But it was also. It's funny because it was terrible, but at the time, it was awesome if you were a kid.
Because it was the only thing X-Men related.
It was the only live-action X-Men thing, and they showed Xavier's school and all that shit.
Yeah.
And Banshee was in it, and White Queen, and they redid, Jim Carrey's Riddler.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kids loved.
Yeah, somehow, but good
for... And it was a horseshit movie, but it was, it was...
It was probably what was called a backdoor pilot.
Yeah, absolutely.
That they couldn't pull forward. It was like that one Doctor Who TV movie they tried to do. It was a backdoor pilot that didn't pick off.
Yeah, exactly. And they even made up a couple characters to try to make it more like X-Men. Like, there was a Cyclops character. Remember that guy? He had, glasses on, and he would shoot lasers out of his eyes.
I just remember there was Skin. That was it.
Yeah.
The Latin guy with the who
could
stretch.
Yeah, and Mondo was a kid who was on Family Matters one time. He was one of the friends of the older kid.
Don't remember a thing.
Yeah, he was just, one of the guys... I don't remember any of these characters' names from Family Matters, but he was one of the older brother's friends, and he'd show up on all these 90s TV shows.
Right. Well, speaking of TV, I also watched for a few seconds, also on InstaView. By the way, speaking of InstaView, scored a huge coup. We're gonna have every Saturday Night Live episode ever on InstaView.
Seriously?
Also, every episode of Law and Order SVU, all the rape you can take.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been watching SVU. It's good shit. That's a great show.
What was your favorite SVU episode?
I really like the one with the guy from... Remember the guy from Seven who was the victim?
Leland Orser?
Yeah. Yeah, the guy from the rape scene.
Was the lust victim?
Yeah. With the razor cock guy.
Yeah.
He was on an episode of SVU. Do you remember that?
No.
He was a mental patient who was trying to get his... Well, he wanted to get his son back, but he had... some mental disabilities and was really struggling with that, but he was kind of taken in as a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
But then they found out that he was mentally unstable. It's a really complex plot of trying to get this guy's life sorted out, and it was pretty optimistic for a SVU episode. I really liked it.
Right.
There's a lot of great episodes, but that one was really good.
Yeah, I haven't watched that show in years. I mean,
it's an extremely well-produced show, and it's executive produced by the guy who did Rambo: First Blood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ted Kotcheff.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got a real raw style, and it kind of bleeds into the show.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that show gets so ridiculous and funny. Isn't
what do you
Ben
mean
Linus
ridiculous?
In that show?
What? In SVU?
Ben? Yeah.
You
show up once?
I don't know.
Okay.
But wait, why is it ridiculous? What do you mean?
I don't know.
It's
just
like
saying
cops.
How much. I mean, isn't it like?
It's a pretty. I would say fairly not
better
like,
than CIA. I figured, right?
Oh, well, I haven't seen CI in years. I know Jeff Goldblum's on it now.
He just left. The show's over.
Oh, it's done?
Yeah.
Did D'Onofrio, like, what's up with him now?
He quit. He got, it was too much for him.
Oh, yeah, because he's sick, right?
I don't know.
He had cancer or something, didn't he?
Yeah, and he was, like, a real pain in the ass to work with, apparently. So.
According to who? What?
Everyone that worked on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never watched CI.
Yeah. No, it was Steve Colbert was on CI one time.
That's, and it was very surreal, too.
Yeah, it was odd. But, anyway, SVU is great, man.
Oh, okay. It's also because, like, Munch doesn't do anything, and, like...
Who cares if Munch doesn't do anything?
Well, he was so... Compared to what he was in
Homicide... He's old, man. He's, like, old as shit.
Yeah, he shouldn't actually be on the force at this point. He's now been a cop for probably at least 45 years now.
It's been, like, 20 years.
Yeah, and he was at least a cop for 20 years when we first saw him in Homicide. And that was 17 years ago.
No, he wasn't a cop for 20 years in Homicide.
I think he was. So... I'm pretty sure it was, but...
Yeah, I'm challenging you.
Well, you know what? You can go ahead and challenge that. But by all means, you know, I'm not going to do anything about it. So yeah, they're going to have every episode of CSVU, a lot of other NBC stuff, and every episode of Saturday Night Live. I can't wait to see the Clarence Thomas confirmation sketch again, which is amazing, with Phil Hartman as... Ted Kennedy, God rest his soul.
I can watch just about any skit with Phil Hartman. He does a great job. He's
yeah, except for the 1995 season, which is such a sinkhole. It's not even funny.
I don't remember it.
No one laughs in that season. And it's got a weird casting. Chris Elliott's in it. Jane Garofalo's in it. Michael Madsen. Michael Madsen. Michael McKean is in it.
Michael McKean. That's amazing. That's
and
too bad.
All sucked horribly. It really did.
Remember when like Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Rock were on the lineup on that in the 80s?
Randy Quaid was in a season.
Yeah. The 80s were a strange time.
Well, there was the classic Dream Team season with Billy Crystal, Eddie Murphy, Martin Short. It was the 1984-85 season. Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer. A lot of people. Robert Downey Jr., Anthony Michael Hall was in a season.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
A lot. It's just really weird. But
didn't Anthony Michael Hall get kicked off for dropping an F-bomb live on
that
TV?
That was Charles Rocket.
Okay.
He was from like the way early 80s. He later killed himself. All this could be found in the great book Live from New York, which is a really, really good book. But yeah, so I was watching something on Instagram. You ever seen the show Hoarders?
No, but I've heard of it.
I've tried watching that show. I couldn't last more than 5 minutes.
Really?
I do not like reality TV at all.
That's
I
funny.
I don't like it, and I don't like this show.
The reality TV... I've seen some decent reality TV shows. Obviously, like, some of the best are on, like I don't know. Actually, I don't know if this qualifies as, like, a reality show, because it's on the Learn Channel, but it's, like, Dirty Jobs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Those are great. But
that's actually interesting.
Then there's, like, what was that one? I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here was horrendous, but I watched that with Marissa, and God, it was a train wreck, but it was so fascinating.
I wonder when it comes to, like, Dirty Jobs, or when it's, like, something, it's almost like a documentary, basically, where it's showing you something, and it's not some human freak show-like thing.
Yeah.
I don't give a sweet crap who says this is actually great to watch. I don't want...
Well, then there's, like, that recovery show. I think it might actually be called
like a
Recovery.
Ton of them. And Celebrity Rehabs?
No. This one was where they would do like... it was called Intervention.
Interventions, yeah.
Yeah, which was a great show. And then... I mean, it's not something I watch religiously, but I've seen it every once in a while. And what else? I saw this new show about... It's a new recovery show. It was on Hulu. And this woman that I used to know was on it.
Oh, God.
And it was really weird. She really was a wreck. I don't want to say anymore because I don't want to...
I don't want to out this
poor lady. But, man, I was like... She was kind of weird when Marissa and I both knew her. She was kind of weird back in the day, and now she's like really gone off the deep end.
Yeah.
They fixed her, fixed one of her problems, though, so that's
well,
that's
good. Right. That's good. I'm just not a fan of reality TV that much because I don't like being reminded of reality.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I love documentaries. I like good documentaries. I don't...
You don't like bad documentaries?
I don't like... Especially insulting doc. Nothing pisses me off more than condescension.
Like what? Like how? Like what? What's an example?
Oh God.
Like what's the most condescending documentary you've ever seen?
Shit. Because usually I avoid that stuff like a plague.
Well, how do you know it's condescending if you haven't seen it?
Oh God. Probably anything like related to like. See, the problem is I avoid this stuff. I've never really sat down and watched a really. Oh God. That's why.
So
I'm
is
not...
it more like you just avoid it?
As a cautionary thing, because I'm gonna get pissed off by it. Like,
well, wait, do you mean condescending, or do you mean like overly, like intrusive on you? I mean, not intrusive, but like kind of contrary to your own personal philosophies or beliefs.
It's not so much that. I guess if something is being telling me that's something incredibly obvious, or it's like that's just really, or it's kind of shittily done. Like I remember there was this thing called Outfox, which was about Fox News, and it's like it was so piss poorly done. It's not even funny.
How do you mean? How do you,
I saw the review of it. Siskel and Ebert did a review of it. It's hard.
Well, wait, like okay, hold on. So you're saying you based off a review that the movie was poorly put together, but how did you conclude the movie was poorly put together?
I saw clips of it.
Okay, but like what about the clips made you think it was poorly put together? I'm just curious.
The graphics, the way they presented their evidence, it seemed like it was clearly done on PowerPoint.
So it just looked shitty.
It looked shitty.
It just looked really shitty.
Yeah.
Like amateurish.
Right.
Okay. But they didn't have any good points or anything? It was just
that
like,
too. I think the other thing is, well, I'm just not a big Michael Moore fan. I just don't like the way he does things. Politics aside, well, obviously there's Loose Change, which I refuse to watch.
Why?
That's the 9/11 documentary that claims it's a conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah, that's horseshit. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you something about that real quick since we're on this 9/11
topic. You watch
topic.
Loose Change?
No, I didn't see that shit.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you why I don't think 9/11 was a conspiracy. And not just because I'm sane. But the other reason was I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, if George Bush was his criminal mastermind, right? I mean, he was. The theory is that if 9/11 was orchestrated, he would have a very, very strong part in it. He'd have he would have been part of the whole thing.
Right.
Yet Stephen Colbert will go and openly mock him publicly.
Yeah.
And be perfectly fine. I'm thinking Stephen Colbert would be dead. He would have died in some horrible quote-unquote accident. Had he openly mocked the guy who orchestrated 9/11.
Here's the thing that I always come across when it's like people have like this weird thing where like people think either government just can't do anything right or it's a super omnipresent force that is controlling your life from cradle to grave.
Well, like the Freemasons.
It can't be both, damn it.
Like the Freemasons. They think they're like...
Watch yourself. We have a member of the Masons on the board, so watch yourself.
Yeah, but the Freemasons don't do shit.
Exactly. It's actually... The concept of the Freemasons was actually just a skeptical intellectual group. The whole thing of the mysticism.
No, they're a religious. There's a religious.
No, that was all created to smear them in the 1820s, actually, because some dude got murdered.
Because it was contrary to the common beliefs of Christianity.
Right, and what it was supposed to be like a skeptical intellectual society. Plus, they get neat aprons. So, right.
But it was kind of it had its
It's got its roots.
I'm not going to say it's a cult, but it had connotations of occultism where it was not necessarily, I'm not talking about devil worship or witchcraft, I just mean like it had this sort of cult element to it that also made it unsavory in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's the kind of secret society, but it's at the same time it's also just a real fraternal
organization. I'm not ragging on the Freemasons. I don't know what the hell they do. I just know they're not running.
They just get around and drink.
They're not running the world is all I know. And it's the same thing about the government. It's like the government's done a lot of shit.
Right.
I mean, like, if you remember, they've done a lot of shit that they've been held accountable for. That's changed a lot over the years.
Right.
And it's funny because they still probably do shit that we don't want to know about.
Yeah.
Or we know about and are offended by. Like, if you're anti-war, you know, anti-fucking whatever, dude. Like, if it's just as simple as like formal policy that's going up now. Or secret shit that we have no idea what's,
right.
what's going
well,
on.
Well, that's absolutely true. It's just that, I mean, the way I think of it is there's this great SNL skit where Phil Hartman plays Reagan, and everyone thinks, like, Reagan is, like, this kind of, obviously, you know, the idea of Reagan kind of...
I saw what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like, he's, like, both being a dunderhead and being able to mastermind the entire Iran-Contra scandal, which is the weapons for hostages. It's like, all right, it's like, damn, this is the worst part of the job I hate. And it's like, well... That's very nice. All right, let's get back to work.
Yeah.
It's like you there and there.
Yeah, somehow able.
It's like it can't be both. That's why I never believed in conspiracies, and I've said this before because I was watching JFK, which is obviously really good. That you can't, when you have such a even say that in the movie where you can't have such a massive conspiracy that somehow it has thousands of people involved and no one talks. It's really what it is, most likely, and. This is why I love The Wire so much. It's just that the institutions, there's an inertia involved, and people just roll with it.
Yeah.
So that's really what it is.
It's more likely, and you know this from being a guy who's worked in a lot of different jobs and stuff like that, that over time you start realizing that just because there are things in place to make things run smoothly doesn't mean they actually run smoothly.
Right.
There's no insurance against huge fuck-ups. There's not. Or even just negligence.
Yeah.
Or anything. And it's like, maybe some people turn... I think at worst, maybe some people turned a blind eye.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe Maybe they had personal interests. Maybe they turned a blind eye. That's as deep and dark as I think it would get, is some people purposefully not doing anything about it versus orchestrating this huge event of, like, whatever, alien cloaked rocket ships that went over there, whatever the fuck. It's like, or even just the fact that it was, you know, something that was not a terrorist attack.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of goes why, I mean, because Oliver Stone just came out with a new movie, you know, Wall Street 2, which I heard was which doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Because Oliver Stone has always had this problem with his direction, where it's very, very ham-handed.
It's on the nose, and it's
extreme,
really, like,
as I've always said, his hand is coated in lead. That's how heavy-handed it is.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Although I still think, I recently watched his Born on the 4th of July. It's probably his best. Although I really like Wall Street because I love business. But because I saw W, and it was terrible, really bad. And it's a shame. But although I've never seen The Doors, and I've got to get around to seeing it.
Yeah, I've seen parts of it, but I haven't seen the whole thing.
I've seen parts of it, too, and never finished it. And I really should check that out. But I think the only other movie I'm going to see this coming, you know, coming soon is going to be The Social Network. And I really look forward to it. I think it said it best because of the movie show I go on, Movie Moan, is they were talking about that no one likes the treatment of how they were portrayed in the movie. Obviously, the guy who spilled the beans, who was a coworker of Zuckerberg at the time, he was given $1 billion and he shut up. So, well, you know, that's but no one's disowned, no one's going out of the way to stop the movie from being released. So it's like, the hell with it. So yeah. I look forward to it a lot.
I don't know.
Well, I think it'll be. You know what it is? It'll be a good. I think what it is that it's an interesting story. It's a very interesting story. We haven't really heard about it, and some people claim Facebook is a fad. I don't know about that, but I think it'll just be.
It's been around for quite a while.
It's been a while, and it's not MySpace, and it worked. I mean, you know, the fact 5 years ago, you know, we were all on MySpace.
MySpace was a fad, and it's because it also kind of imploded on itself after a while.
It got too big, it sold out, and also it was it doesn't have the features that Facebook has. And now they're redeveloping MySpace to look like Facebook.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but it still works, and a lot of people still use MySpace.
Mainly for music. That's it. It's just like
there are millions of people on MySpace. I mean,
having a MySpace
huge.
Profile is like having an AOL email account. Why would you have a MySpace?
You still can network with everyone, and it's graphic heavy too. So the thing is like,
that's true.
You can play around with it a lot. There are a lot of kids that use MySpace and stuff, and it's still popular, and it still exists, and it's fine.
That's true, actually, to mention it, because Facebook is very uniform.
But it's more of a conservative kind of thing. I mean, when I say conservative, I don't mean political. I just mean, like, you know.
And look.
Yeah, it's very minimalist.
It's true.
And that's good, because it's non-threatening toward new users. Yet still, people don't know how to use it and fuck it up, so.
Well, what can you do? But it doesn't crash like MySpace or even Twitter, although recently it just went down. But, you know what? Like I said, I'd for what I could do to get a job. God. We'll just
see. Anyway, that movie's gonna suck.
Bullshit, it will.
Yeah.
No, it won't.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great.
Yep.
David Fincher, man.
Yep. He doesn't shit gold, man.
Well, I mean, look, it's so, you know, I mean, obviously Panic Room was not good, but.
I hold Panic Room against him.
I didn't see Benjamin Button, so I just,
I didn't see
I bypassed that, but I look forward to this a lot, and I can't wait to see it. I think the only other thing, worth mentioning is, I just want to mention a quick video game thing. A couple of things, because I know you wanted to talk about this. I tried out Bioshock related, is that there's two things. A new video for the new Bioshock game, Bioshock Infinite, came out. 9 minutes of game footage. Looks amazing. It's set in the early 1900s, and I mentioned this before, in the city that floats in the air.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Really beautiful. And then the second thing was that there's a new DLC, downloadable content, for Bioshock 2. It's called Minerva's Den, and it's really cool. I bought it, I beat it, after I bought it, and it took me about 3 hours. It's basically like a two to three hour movie. You spend $10. It's really cool. I love the setup, because it basically involves the computer system of Rapture. And so it's a thinking computer with vacuum tubes and crap. So I don't care. No, it doesn't work on principle, but it's really, really cool. I really, really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. I know it's on the same part of the Scott Pilgrim game. So that's been it for video games. But I know you wanted to talk about chiptune music, I believe. Didn't you? Or you didn't?
Oh, wait, yeah. No, I was going to say, that's funny. I had emailed you a while ago about that. No, I was gonna say because I've been listening to this new station, Tom Likas. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I've heard of Likas. I'm not a fan of him, though.
Well, yeah, but he's not on the air anymore, so.
Good.
Well, actually, wait. I think he might be on a podcast, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I'm not a Likas
but
fan.
But Likas. Hold on. Okay. Whoa, relax for a second.
Yeah.
Tom Likas, a radio personality in Los Angeles, retired from a show and then started up a new station called New Normal Music.
Okay.
And it's actually a really good station. You can find it on the alternative section in the iTunes radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty cool station. I like it. And it doesn't play top 40. And it doesn't, well, it kind of incidentally plays top 40, but
right.
not, it doesn't go out of its way to go like, here's the new Red Hot Chili Peppers, here's the new, he specifically used them as an example because he was saying that this is passing off as new music, yet, you know, these guys are like 40, you know, 47 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not really new, it's just following the same
bands. I'm not a Chili Peppers fan at all, so.
But it's just, it was interesting because they were talking about how, what people call modern music and what modern music really is.
Okay.
So what they do is they go out of their way to try to find a lot of music and play stuff you haven't heard before, and it's not indie kind of like super, you know, elitist, pseudo elitist bullshit stuff of like, you know, it's hipster or it's
yeah, a great example of that is Dirty Projectors.
It's not like, oh, this is indie music only. It's not about that. It's just
right.
playing good new music that's not necessarily played on other stations.
Okay.
And it's very cool. Again, it's called New Normal Music. You can find it on iTunes Radio. I heard one of the little bits that they do in between playing songs. They'll do the little, you know, breaks, the station
right.
identification thing.
Okay.
And they did an 8-bit version of their, you know, music
their
and
stuff. Station opening, yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it, and then I was thinking, like, is 8-bit, and maybe I missed this, because I know there's a lot of bands doing 8-bit music.
Right.
And professionally and all kinds of crazy shit and doing
okay.
it on shows, getting paid for it. But is it going to become a legit genre?
It's not a genre. It's a medium. That's what I see it
well,
as.
Well, I guess what I mean is, like, is it going to be integrated into popular music, top 40 music?
I think it's possible. I don't know about top 40 because that whole music industry has been fucked to the hilt. But I think it's definitely a legitimate form of music. And
how
I
do
think
the music industry has been fucked?
Well, it all stems from when Napster showed up and the fact they didn't buy in, they just sued, so they screwed themselves. And the fact that they don't, the music, you know, you're not, you know, it's the whole thing of paying, you know, back then, you had to pay $20 for a CD, and those margins are not there like they used to be. And the fact that, in fact, recently, music sales have been the worst they have been in 20 years. And I actually cheered when I heard that. Fuck them. I don't like the music industry all that much. And
well, when you say music industry, are you just talking like
the labels,
major labels?
As for chiptune music, I like it a lot. I think you know, it's a tool like anything else. I think it's going to be there. As to whether I imagine there could be a popular song that uses it. I'm no doubt probably be like sampled in a hip hop song or something.
Yeah, that's
and,
what I'm,
that's
what that's I'm
what
saying.
I
like,
think
do you think you're going to hear it more in like mainstream stuff?
You know, it'll be like hopefully autotune isn't used anymore, but I have no doubt it could be used. So,
because it was used to great effect, obviously, in the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack, and played around with in the movie a lot. We're probably going to see some imitators in the next few years try to do something similar.
I think it's great. I really do.
Yeah.
I know they're in, it's because I saw Anamanaguchi in concert, which was the band that did the chiptune music. There was another band I once encountered called Freeze Pop, which I didn't like, just because I found them their sound to be way too minimal. Meaning they're really, this is literally was very very. Cheap.
Was it sounded like old the old like Pac-Man?
Basically, but there was no funness to it. I found
no funness.
You know,
no
not,
funitude.
No. When it's not like with someone like chiptunes like a major song and it's really cute, you know. And I always like that sort of thing. And I like I said, I think it'll be there. I think especially as we get older, you know, and because obviously, you know, a 13-year-old of today isn't going to know what a 8-bit sound is. I think they're going to encounter that sound through that. Because the way
Yeah, that's what
are,
I'm wondering, though, is if they're going to like it.
I think, well, it's just another sound like anything else. I think they will. I mean, you know, how could you not hate it? So, I mean, how could you hate it?
Well, it just depends on the taste. I'm just wondering
just,
if, there's,
mean,
enough,
depends on
if
taste.
There's enough interest.
Exactly, but I think it's a tool like anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, if there could be such a genre or a style is nerdcore, which I'm not really.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Nerdcore is basically rapping, but with using a lot of nerdy shit in it. That's all it is. I know that Rob has talked about it a lot, and I usually bores the piss out of me, unfortunately, because I'm just not.
Do you have any examples of that? Like where?
Nerdcore is like, Christ, I wish I could give it a popular example, but I can't really think of one. There's all these like particular rap. It's like it's a real niche genre. There's a documentary on it called Nerdcore Rising, which I never bothered with because it was just it never appealed to me. It mainly it's like a lot of stuff for like I hate to say it, the Adult Swim crowd. It just drops references involving video games and cartoons.
Oh, okay. I know. You know what? Actually, I heard some of that stuff. Like that's like 10 years old. Like really? Stuff that I've heard of nerdcore stuff. It's like really old.
Yeah. Well, and talking about like Dungeons and Dragons and rolling the.
They do like I heard like the Star Wars rap and the
like
Nintendo
that,
rap and stuff like that. And
yeah.
They do, yeah.
Stuff like that, and it's just.
I don't know who did them because that was so long ago. That was before anybody. You just get tracks. And you didn't know what names they were.
Right.
Who
right.
Who the
right.
fuck did what? You just got. You know, you go on Napster or on LimeWire and download something, and
even Kazaa,
everyone would say every song was done by Pennywise or every song was done by, you know,
mm-hmm.
or done by Weezer or some shit.
Yeah, right.
No idea.
So you have that. I think it'll be around. And as for like what my favorite like chiptune songs, I guess, or chiptune music, I mean, all I can think of is like video game themes.
Oh, that's right. I said we should come up with our five. I didn't.
I can't
come
think
up,
of five. I
recommended we come up with our five top 8-bit. Songs,
yeah,
8-bit,
or
8-bit
bit
themes,
of music, yeah.
And I was too lazy to do them. I didn't do them.
Well, I can definitely say, off the ones at the top of my head, I love the. I've called it Leo's Place or it's Lee's Place. I think it's called Rock Club on the soundtrack.
Yeah,
the Scott Pilgrim video game. There's that track. The music from Journey to Silius. The music from Star Tropics. The. First level of Super Mario Bros. 3 where the bushes go.
Yeah.
I don't want to go for the obvious ones of Super Mario Bros. Or Zelda. I'm sure there are others, but.
Why not? Could just go for them. They're cool, man.
Or River City Ransom. That's another classic one.
I think all my top five, by the way, were Street Fighter. I think my number five.
That's
my number five was the Mario theme, the original one. The
right.
The
sub-level one, level 2.
Yeah, yeah. And then all the other ones were Street Fighter.
Okay.
And the top two, I don't remember the other. There was like the opening theme for Street Fighter, the arcade, Street Fighter 2. Not mm-hmm. Turbo or anything. They all kind of sound the same, but
right.
I'm just saying like the intro, I forgot the other. I had some other ones, but basically the first top. I'm going to have to do top two.
Okay.
Top two 8-bit were both from Street Fighter. Two, I want to say one, but two was Ken's stage.
One in front of the boat.
And number one was Guile's theme.
The one in front of the jet.
Yeah.
How did the Guile's theme go, do you know?
I just did it. I'm not doing it again.
Do it again.
I'm not doing it.
I talked over you when you did it.
I know. I can't do it.
Come on.
We'll just edit it into this part later.
Not really.
And freeze.
Oh, okay.
And there it was. Okay.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was not.
God damn it. Where are our production values, man?
We don't have any. What are you talking about? Production values?
Okay. We'll just cut this whole last part off.
What kind of operation do you think this is? Maybe I got to work back into James Woods' cock here at this point, I think.
Yeah, I think this is the part where we'd repulse the audience with the story of how well-hung James Woods is.
Oh, God. And I think with that, for the Ed Hawkins Show, I'm Ed Hawkins.
And this is Randall.
Keep it classy.
Weep for yourself, my man. You'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man. You're not as brave as you were at the start. Rate yourself and rake yourself. Take all the courage you have left. And waste it on fixing all the problems that you made in your own head. But it was not your fault but mine. And it was your heart on the line. I really fucked it up this time. Didn't I, my dear? Didn't I, my dear?
yourself, my man. You know that you have seen this all before. Tremble, little lion man. You'll never settle any of your scores. Your grace is wasted in your face. Your boldness stands alone among the wreck. Now learn from your mother, or I'll spend your days biting your own neck. But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really fucked it up this time, didn't I, my dear? But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really fucked it up this time, didn't I, my dear? Thank you.